Hi guys, I'm Nick Elliott, Rock Art Photographer, and we're here doing the second show of the Nick Elliott podcast with my dear friend and my PA, Annie Brooks.
Good afternoon, Nicholas. How are you?
Welcome, Annie. Lovely to have you back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back. It's been a while.
It's Sunday. It's still Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It is Sunday, and it's a bit of a grey, kind of dampy, cold spring day. Well, I think it is anyway.
It's warm and it's sunny.
No, it's not warm. Warm does not come into it.
I could just like to tell everybody that when everybody else is thinking this is a warm spring day, Nick is thinking, ooh, it's cold, it's chilly.
Well, the UK is always cold, isn't it? It's always bloody cold, apart from the odd 20 minutes that comes along in the summer that they then say, oh, we had a good summer. We had 24 minutes this year as against the 19 that we had last year. And, you know, 42 degrees in the shade and all this kind of knackers. What is that? Whatever happened to proper summers in this country?
Oh, every year you want a proper summer, don't you?
Well,
Hang on, and every autumn you're sick of it and you want a proper winter till you get
you,
there.
You don't, do you? Don't you get 11 months of winter in this country now.
Would you say we've had any snow this year?
Well, no. But you don't have to have snow to have a winter, do you?
No, I have to say it's been...
You know.
Blustery, windy and wet. Oh, that's something else he's always doing.
Always windy in this bloody country now.
And this weekend, it's lovely. And I'm really glad to see a bit of sunshine.
I love to have a grizzle about England's weather.
Yes, you do.
I do. I love to have a grizzle about England, really.
I think the first time, every time we speak to each other, it's always about the weather, isn't it? A typical British pastime.
Oh, Christ, man. It's desperate, I think. It's desperate. I mean, it's funny because I crossed the day off my calendar the other morning, and I thought, you're nearly, you know, you're 1 week into April. Next month is May.
I know.
And this particular morning was 3 above.
Really?
Yeah, it was a bit bloody Vostov. It yeah, really was.
It was nice here, but it was 5 here. And it was cold, yeah.
But the wind today, cold, always cold.
Yeah.
It is. And yeah. It's always windy in this country.
Yeah.
Like living on a Viking slave ship. It is. Fucking thing. Terrible.
That actually took me back to that film, The Vikings, with Tony Curtis.
Good little film, that was.
It was a good film.
It was.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Anyway, you told me earlier on.
I did.
Because this weren't what we were going to talk about, but no. You mentioned that it's Gerry Anderson's birthday today.
It is.
Or
correct.
It would have been if the guy was still alive.
Yeah, I think he would have been well into his 90s if he was still around. I think he was born in 1929.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Now, he's a favourite of ours, though, isn't he?
Oh, big time. Yeah,
he
big time.
He framed our childhood, really.
Definitely. Definitely. Definitely me and my brothers. Big time. Mm. And we now live in a Tracy Island age, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
These are the years that they actually thought that their programmes were all staged in, really.
Oh, yeah,
they?
Totally. Yeah.
The 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah.
Symbol.
You know, sitting there watching Jeff Tracy talk to Scott as he's waiting for his ETA, and, you know, they go to a screen video call.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
do.
Know, and you thought, God, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. And now you do it all the time.
What about Tracy Island, where the dad's sitting there and they've got all those pictures?
Yeah, that's what I'm on about.
Is that what you're about?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's where they all come up, isn't it?
That's what they were called.
Oh,
yeah. And her eyes flash and things like that. And just like the mobile phones we've got today.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
The
guy was such a visionary. It's untrue.
He was. Oh, dear. What was the earliest Gerry Anderson you remember?
Four Feather Falls.
Now, you see.
Which I think was the first one they did.
I think you're right there. And I had to go and Google this because I had never heard of it. So it was obviously a bit before my time. I think it was in the late 50s.
Black and white, I do believe.
Yeah.
And I was a very young boy.
Were you?
Yeah, very young boy.
Yeah. And it was a proper it was quite a serious programme because I've actually watched a couple of these episodes now. It was... It wasn't just a very twee children's programme, was it?
Not really. Was it Tex Tucker?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, cowboy.
He was the sheriff, weren't he?
That's it. And he got a dog, hadn't
he? That's right. Yeah, and a horse.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the horse spoke, didn't he?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were quite serious stories, I thought. Not
I,
ca-
I can't remember
be.
Them. I'm talking
but
really
Four Feather Falls. Now, Four Feather Falls, Nick. I thought, what's it on about, Four Feathers? But didn't he have something with four feathers in it?
With a magic?
Yes.
I think he did, which is why his horse could speak.
Yes.
I think.
It was on the front of his hat, I think.
Was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, he had four feathers and somebody gave it to him and it was magic. That's quite good, really, isn't it?
No, I can't remember it. I can't remember the plot, I've got to say.
Okay.
But I know that was the first one he did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all shot in Slough, weren't they?
They were.
In a studio in Slough.
Yeah. I'll talk about that.
Which would be the only reason you'd go to Slough.
Well, yeah, you would. But I had the pleasure a couple of years ago of meeting Gerry Anderson's son. Oh, gosh. And at the Space Centre.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah. And he actually gave me a badge, a patch to wear on my coat.
Oh, right, yeah.
For the studios.
Oh, really?
Bray Studios.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So I was very privileged and he signed a piece of paper for me. So it was lovely to meet him. Sadly, I never met the real Gerry Anderson, but to see his son and he's carrying on everything.
But you met Shane Rimmer's wife, didn't you?
I met Shane Rimmer as well.
Who, if anybody don't know, and they really should do, was the voice of Scott Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. I think you told me about who Shane Rimmer was. And I did know of him, but I didn't know he was the voice of
Scott Tracy.
Scott Tracy.
I knew, but it was a chance thing. It really was. I used to do a radio show on Siren FM in Lincoln. I did it for over 5 years,
mm-hmm.
called Sound and Nick's Vision. The co-producer on that, or co-host really, Alex Lefduke, lovely guy. We did this show together. That was music based, but to condense the story down, Alex did another show called The Midweek Drive.
Right.
And he'd do Midweek Drive special,
mm-hmm.
which basically had a load of guests from all over the world that used to ring in and what have you. And he invited me on several times. Mm-hmm. And this particular time, I didn't actually know what was going on. I sat there and I went to Mike and Alex said, turn, what have you been doing, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And then he said, I've got somebody here that I think you're really going to enjoy speaking to. And he got this guy phoning in. And at that time, he was living in the UK. And he said, it's Shane Rimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can't be serious. And he said, yeah, the voice of Scott Tracy. And I said, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him on the phone, Shane on the phone. Well, not literally on the phone, but we were live on the show. And it was just wonderful. We just cracked into the old, you know, FAB and ETA and all that kind of stuff. It was just wonderful. I mean, Thunderbirds was such a big part of my upbringing. Massive for me and my brother.
Yeah.
Massive. We never watched, yeah, we never missed them. We watched every single one. And I still do watch them. I still do watch them. I bought them on Apple, mm-hmm. on iTunes. And I still watch them, and they're still as good as they were,
amazing,
and exciting. Still fantastic.
Yeah, they were a big part of me and my brother's life too. You just couldn't believe it. There was Stingray before that.
Yeah, we did Stingray. Yeah, we were in the Stingray Club because mum signed us up to the Stingray Club.
Mm.
Yeah, and Supercar.
Oh, now that was before my time, sadly.
Mike Mercury.
Yeah.
It was, if I'm not mistaken, that was before Stingray. Stingray came after. A supercar.
Yeah, but the one that I first remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old was Fireball XL5.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first one I
remember. Robert the Robot.
Yeah, yeah. That was black and white.
Yeah.
But yeah.
These are what, early 60s?
Yes. I was born in 59, the last week of, and so yeah, they got to be 60. I must have been 63, 64.
I'm not sure.
65.
They were early. Mm. I was only small. Mm. We were only small. We were. Me and my brother used to sit there, and it was man,
you couldn't
fantastic.
Wait to sit down and watch it, could
no,
you?
No, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But getting back to Shane Rimmer, what a gentleman! He's such a kind-hearted guy. He was so nice and so lovely to meet. And sadly, I hate to say it, but after I met him, it was only a couple of months that he passed away.
Yeah, he was poorly, wasn't he?
Very, very lucky to meet him and his darling wife, who, you know, made sure that she gave me a little video. And,
yeah, he did a video for me, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I said, I'm ever so sorry, because I went to this event at the Space Centre in Leicester, and I knew you would love to have gone, and I also knew you were a big fan. So I asked his, I was just talking to his wife, saying you couldn't come, and she went, hang on a minute, we'll get Shane to do a little video for him. And I've still got it on my phone, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does say hi to you, and so sorry that you couldn't be there.
Absolutely brilliant.
How wonderful.
For anybody who don't really know who Shane Rimmer was, he was in two or three Bond films.
Seven Bond films. Yeah, he's in loads of them. I'll have to Google that and let you know, viewers, because he was in lots of them. He's usually with the periscope on a submarine and that sort of thing.
Did he play a CIA man? I think he played CIA men, didn't he?
Something like that.
So Felix Leiter, part of his crew.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think Felix you'll find he was. Leiter. Yeah.
Wow.
Because Felix Leiter was played by the guy who was in Hawaii 5-0, weren't he?
Yes.
Who I can't remember his name.
Yeah, oh, I've got him.
He played the original Felix Leiter.
Right.
And I think Shane Rimmer was part of his team.
Oh, I see.
I didn't know he'd done Seven.
Well, I'm going to just Google that and check, because he did a lot, like you say,
didn't he? Did he do Boys to the Bottom of the Sea as well? He might have done.
Hang on. Scott, I'm just checking.
Okay, can you just Google it here,
Danger
viewers.
Man, Captain Scarlet. Ooh, what was the wonder he was in Captain Scarlet?
He did a voice in Captain Scarlet,
didn't he? Wow, Space Precinct.
He did a hell of a lot.
Yeah, James Bond films. Oh, here we go. You Only Live Twice.
I knew that one. The Dirty Dozen
he was in.
Was he really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Star Wars.
Was he in Star Wars?
Star Wars. Superman 2 and Live and Let Die. So it wasn't Seven.
Okay.
But he did a few. Gosh.
But he was a legendary actor at his time, of the time, wasn't he? Yeah, kind of 60s, late 60s, 70s. Yeah. That kind of time.
Yeah.
And he tipped up, didn't he, on many film sets.
Yes, he did.
Playing various different roles.
Yes.
Never lead roles, but obviously for me, the biggest one he did was the voice of Scott Tracy. Good.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a question here now, Annie Brooks.
Oh, dear.
This, I think you'll find this is a pub quiz question.
Uh-oh.
The voice of Captain Scarlet. And what was his Christian name?
Oh, I can see his face. Oh, no. I can see his face. He was quite posh, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Darn it.
He had his own TV shows as well.
Yeah, he did. He was an actor in his own personality.
But I think you'll find this...
I can't think off the top of my head. As soon as you tell me, I'm going to know it.
Francis, somebody.
That's it.
Francis.
Good grief. Look at the pair of us.
Can't remember. You'll have to search that. What was his Christian name? What was Scarlet's Christian name?
Captain Scarlet's Christian name? I don't know. Red?
I think it was Adam.
Oh.
Check that.
Okay. Oh, hang on.
She's busy looking, listeners,
while we're
chatting away.
Oh my goodness.
I think it was Adam.
Glasses off, which is ridiculous.
I think it was.
Was it weird?
I could easily get tucked into another. The best chocolate on the market is Freddo Frog.
Are they sponsoring this episode?
No, they're not. Cadbury's ought to. Cadbury's ought to.
Oh my gosh.
Freddo Frog, you.
Voices of. I am Francis Matthews.
That's it. That's the bloke.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, that was his voice.
But I cheated. I had to Google it.
And I think his Christian name was Adam.
Right. Okay.
I think it was.
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
Captain
Blue. I was told that by a very reliable source, who was also a massive fan.
Okay.
Of Joe 90, actually.
Oh, right.
A very, very dear friend of mine, a guy called Carl Greenow. You used to call him Monty. Oh, yes. She's like, oh, does it right, you know.
That is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and he told me we used to talk about nonsense like that.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. When we used to catch up on weekends, we used to sit there and watch back to back Campbell Wick Greens.
Oh, up. Well, yeah. I love that.
Oh, brilliant, man.
I mean, that
Trumpton and all that shit. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Literally, yeah. Sit there in your PJs.
Oh, absolutely.
And watch it all day.
At any age.
Absolutely brilliant.
You can be three, you can be...
Proper TV.
Can't you?
Proper TV.
Yeah, it was. Who was the narrator of Camberwick Green and Trumpton?
Weren't that Oliver Post?
No.
No?
Brian Cant.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, Brian, do you remember him?
Brian, not what I would call him. But, but I won't.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, what was he? What did he do? That bloody city thing? Was that with the Winders, weren't it?
Oh, play. Gosh.
I don't know. We can't remember. Anyway. We're getting some dead area. That's it.
And what's through the arch window
that's
today?
That's it. Yeah, we're getting some dead area in the tent.
No, it's because I'm brain dead.
To find out, you know.
Yeah, but that takes me back to Watch With Mother.
Oh, now you're talking.
Now we're talking. That was the only thing on the television in those days for little tiny tots at 1:30 from Monday to Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I literally did do that,
with my
mum, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Fantastic.
I think we all did, didn't we? What was on a Monday?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Andy Pandy.
Was it?
Andy Pandy, Luby Lou and Teddy.
I was always iffy a bit on A Pandy.
Were you?
Yeah.
What?
I thought his suit was a bit, you know.
Sort of thing I'd wear, though.
The jury was out.
In fact, look what I'm wearing today.
Yeah, I know. It's bordering on Pandy here.
I've got Andy Pandy stripes on, actually, haven't I?
It's bordering on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. What else can you remember? There was...
Wooden Tops, Bill and Ben.
I love Spotty Dog.
Yeah.
I'm doing the actions.
Yeah.
Bill and Ben, the power flower pot men.
That's it.
Little Weed.
Yeah, Slow Coach.
What?
Slow Coach.
What was that?
That was the Tortoise.
Oh, I don't remember him.
Yeah. Slow Coach. Oh, Slow Coach. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember
that was
remember
the Tortoise,
him.
Yeah. Christ almighty, I was seriously young. When watching these, seriously.
We must have been at our mother's knee, weren't we? Yeah, it was black and white.
I think they were all black
and white.
We were
the 21st people in the country to have a coloured television set.
The 21st person?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you know that?
Because it came with on the licence. So we started to see coloured television. We were the 21st people in the whole of the country to see coloured television.
Really?
Yeah.
Stone me.
It was a big treat. It was Pot Black on a Tuesday and High Chaparral. And I couldn't wait to watch it because black and everything else was in black and white. It was only BBC Two that was in colour.
That's it, it was, weren't it? Yeah.
Test transmissions.
Yeah.
Oh,
back.
Brilliant.
Oh,
I can still remember watching the VT10
Fantastic
one,
times.
Flight of Fancy with my brother, Robert. Yeah, if you're listening.
And now there's that many TV channels and all this shit that you pay
got time
for.
To watch them
dear,
all.
Oh dear.
Have I? I've not got time to watch them all, not with all the work you give me.
Mind you, in saying that, talking about that, anniversaries, I do believe it's this weekend, 40th anniversary of the first Alvin Zempet.
Is it really?
I think so.
Oh,
and
now you're a big fan of that, aren't you?
Oh, fantastic programme. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. Mm. I staggered across that purely by accident one Friday night and I thought, holy shit, this is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely
classic.
Brilliant.
Modern classic, wasn't it, at the time?
Dear, oh dear, the Thatcher days.
Yeah.
How things have changed. Now you can't drive anywhere and the bastards are chucking houses up like you never know.
Yeah.
And they? Mm. And you go back to that time, it was all about no work. Mm. Weren't it for builders and brickies, sparkies, etc., etc.?
Yeah.
So they all pissed off to Germany where those people have got their act together.
Yeah. They seem to, don't they?
Yeah. And now, Christ almighty, just coming here today, just housing everywhere.
I know.
Everywhere.
It's scary, isn't it?
Bloody gaga. You can't move in the country. Can't move in the pissing place.
Yeah. They want all these people to move into them that can't afford them.
No, well, that's the idea, though, isn't it?
They're not cheap, these new houses, are they?
That's the idea. Get yourself a house and be in debt for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the UK.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tories and preceding governments.
Gosh.
And they're going to do it all again, aren't they?
Yeah,
in a couple of months' time.
Looks like it.
Yeah, shan't be bothering with that.
No.
Not at all.
No.
They can knob
off.
But
getting back to children's telly.
Yep.
If you could choose to be in a character in one of them, I thought, actually, now I've said that, I think I've preempted the answer. who would you be?
A character in what?
In a Gerry Anderson production.
Oh, it's got to be Scott Tracy.
Why?
Because he was the man, weren't he?
He had a Thunderbird 1 rocket.
He got a lot of style and he was always the first to go.
That's true. I quite liked Gordon at the time.
That doesn't surprise me, really.
All he did was sit inside Thunderbird 2 and come out in his little yellow submarine, really, didn't he?
Totally.
I don't know why I thought that.
No, he never featured in many of them, did he? Not really.
No.
They called him in like off the bench.
A bit like John out in space.
Yeah, he was always fucked, he was, really.
Yeah, he was all left out on his toddy. He must have been very lonely.
Didn't get into anything that really happened.
But I tell you what, if you do get the chance, if they do come back to the Space Centre, you need to go because they have all the puppets.
Yeah, I know. I remember you saying.
And the cars. I've stood next to a full-size FAB-1 Rolls
Royce. Oh, really?
The big pink one.
I was looking at some bits the other because I like the Facebook page, the Henderson Facebook page, mm-hmm. and all that,
mm.
and they often put up small clips and stills and the rest of it from making the programmes.
Mm.
Yeah, totally bloody brilliant.
They were.
Really good. Loved them. Yeah. Really loved them.
I remember we're sitting at my dining table at the minute. And I remember seeing a set from one of the episodes. It was where Thunderbird 2 comes out of Tracy Island and all the palm trees go backwards like that before it takes off. They had that set up in the studio.
Did they really?
Yeah. And it came out the mountain, it taxied down, all the palm trees went off and off it went. It didn't really take off, but they had that model there.
Cool,
had it
bloody wonderful.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Can't get enough of the old Thunderbirds.
No, we loved our old TV days, didn't we? When it was class. There were good cartoons as well. Did you have any good, like Top Cat?
Top Cat was a legend, weren't he?
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Benny the Ball.
I watched a couple of them not so many months ago.
Did
they
you?
Were a little dated.
Yeah.
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 But it was at the period when they changed the voice, because they did change the voice.
Right.
For the later ones.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on this, but I think Phil Silvers did the initial.
Yes, he did.
Did the initial voice?
You're right.
You see?
Yeah.
Think so. Yeah.
What about the Flintstones, things like that?
Yeah, we had a bit of that Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, we were small. I don't know when that would be. No idea.
Friday
I'd be young.
Nights.
Saturday night, weren't it? F Stones.
I don't know.
I think it was Saturday night.
I do remember Friday night, and this isn't a cartoon, but I remember it was Happy Days with the Fonz.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. They were Happy
Days. Never miss one.
No.
Never miss one.
No.
Fantastic programme. They don't make TV like that anymore.
No. Hey.
Absolutely brilliant. Really, really good. Really good.
Mm. Text me back. We'd always have fish and chips on Friday night for tea, and then Happy Days would go on, and all was right with the world.
Yeah, it was, weren't it? Mm. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Friday nights. Yeah, best day of the week, my dad used to say.
Yeah.
Friday. Yeah, he was right. He was.
I like Saturdays, but I can see why your dad liked Fridays.
Dad always said it was the best day of the week. Mm. I think it's because he wasn't working, he'd stopped work, you know, it was end of the week. I think it was that kind of gig. And he was at home with his family.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Mum and his boys, as he used to call us, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Happy Days.
Yeah, literally. Oh, totally. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They're not there anymore. The whole thing is not there anymore.
It's changed. We don't. I think you're lucky, actually, if everybody sits around a table to eat together these days, aren't you? I like to try and do that.
Well, I'm a fan of that. Not that I've got anybody to eat it with, apart from Benita Papada, obviously. But, you know... It was a big thing at 51. Mm. Family, you always ate together.
We did too.
Always. You didn't eat on your knee and all that shit. It was at the table.
Mm-hmm.
At the table. It was proper.
Mm.
Proper.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there was no takeaways, nothing like that, was it? Fish and chips.
Yeah,
that was
that's what we had.
But you didn't take it away. You had to go and fetch the bugger.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
You know, they didn't bring it to you.
No.
Not at all.
No. Oh, I don't know.
But you were talking about aircraft as well, weren't you, earlier on in the day?
I was.
Because you're a big aircraft fan,
it's
aren't
weird.
You?
Weird, yeah. I've
you
always
know
been
a lot
brought
about
up with loving
planes.
Yeah, and yet I hate flying. But I love planes. My dad brought me up. No, you don't like it either?
No.
My dad brought me up to just love planes, airplanes. We had the, who had the Airfix models hanging from the ceiling?
Oh, yeah, me and my brother did all that. Yeah.
My dad used to make the models. We'd sit and watch, and then we'd proudly get a drawing pin in the ceiling with the plane. And we'd have a searchlight at night, a torch looking up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Searchlight at night time, because me and my brother would get into bed and look at
the models. Bit like an air raid.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
What planes did you have on your ceiling,
then? Oh, gosh, we had hundreds. We modelling was a massive thing, again, in our family. Yeah, me and my brother did that. Mm. You know, and you learnt so much from actually doing that. You know, on the aircraft, on the battleships, destroyers, and then the F1 cars. We did a lot of the F1 cars. I think my brother still got Niki Lauda's Ferrari.
Has he?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I've still got a couple of my dad's in the garage. But I remember I had a Sunderland flying boat. There's a big white
Never had a Sunderland. Yeah.
A Mosquito.
Yeah,
a Lancaster. The Spitfire and the Hurricane.
We had...
A Lightning. No, I loved a Lightning jet when the jets came in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I a bit geeky liking all these things?
No. Well, your brother was in the RAF, weren't he, for years?
He's still a plane geek now. And he was in the RAF for quite a long time, yeah. Served in the Iraq wars, and then he went on to mountain rescue. So he's always loved planes. And we've always been taken to all the air shows together.
Mm.
You know,
used to go a lot of air shows. I haven't been for years, but, you know, I was always quite a fan of the air shows.
Mm.
I was near, very close to a place called Old Buckingham in Norfolk.
Yeah.
That we went to a show a few years back, me and Bernice, and we went there, and one of the sets on the film was shot there, or just not too far away from it.
Okay.
Literally yards away from it.
Wow.
Yards away from it. Where we were shooting was separated by a hedgerow, and then you was at Old Buckingham Airfield.
Nice.
Mm. And it was a really good gig, really good day that was.
Mm.
It was. I like the old prop planes.
Yeah.
World War II, because I have an obsession with World War II. Yeah. I'm not too sure why that is. I think it could be a bit of my East End background with my mum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, living through the Blitz and all that kind of stuff and the war years. But yeah, it was really good.
Mm.
You couldn't actually get to it. Plus the fact we didn't really have a time to have a bit of, let's have a moosh around over there. You know, but it was literally you were separated by a hedgerow.
Mm.
It was really good.
Yeah, lovely. Mm. We used to get taken all over the country to see air shows, and very fond memories of Waddington.
Waddington.
And Farnborough.
Went by there only the other week, going to Lincoln. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course I loved the American air bases, Mildenhall. We used to get taken to there, and of course you actually felt like you'd actually stepped into another country when you entered the airbase.
Yeah.
Because they were all flying the American flags, they got big barbecues going.
Like America, don't they? Yeah.
Big American cars, and it's the nearest I've ever got to going across the pond.
Yeah.
But wow, I loved it.
Yeah, I know they do that.
And we actually saw all the Blackbird fly.
Oh, did you see the Blackbird? Lockheed Blackbird? Yeah, really?
I saw that fly. And what was the one that you couldn't see? It was quite funny. It was so invisible.
The stealth job. That's
it.
Yeah.
I have seen them fly, but it was a long time ago. But they actually, when it was top secret, all they had was a plaque on the ground going, stealth bomber, but it was nothing there because it was so invisible.
Really?
As a joke, yeah.
They put a plaque, but no aircraft.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
As a joke. Yeah, I loved it. Oh, good times. Going around talking to all the air people.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Oh, I wish they still did it. They don't do it anymore, do they?
I don't know.
They don't do many air shows, really. Yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Is that where the stealth were? Mildenhall?
Yeah, that's where we saw that.
Were they?
Although I think that was a tanker base, KC-135s, which are...
Tank busters.
Yeah, 707s, Boeing 707s, but that's what was mainly based there. But they bring them in specially.
Right.
To show everybody.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I used to work on some of the air shows as well.
Did you?
Some of the RAF officers.
Oh, right, okay.
RAF Cottesmore.
Right.
They had a stand there and they used to fly tornadoes and... they I got chatting and they just said, would you like to man a stall? And I used to go and up to the different air shows and man the stalls with them.
Oh, right,
with
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I even got to know, I think his name, what was his name? Ken Dove. Flight Lieutenant Ken Dove.
Who was
it? And he went on to be in charge of Flight Magazine, but he wrote a book. And he asked me to do the illustrations in it.
Oh, I do remember you saying about that.
39th
yeah.
Squadron, the wing bomb. I've got a copy upstairs, so I'm quite proud of that.
Cool, wonderful.
Yeah, so that was something I never thought I'd get asked to do, but I did that.
Because you're quite an artist, didn't you?
I like dabbling in a bit of drawing.
No, you are quite an artist.
My brother's better.
Yeah, that guy's phenomenal.
He's great. He does Jesus Christ. Paint, doesn't he? Eh?
He's that good. Is wonderful art yeah. that guy produces, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, he's good.
He is good.
Favourite plane from that time, from that era?
Well,
World War II?
No, it'd be after that, Hawker Hunter.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because I remember my dad, he brought home the model of the Hawker Hunter as a present, as dad used to do that occasionally. And it was black.
Oh.
The moulding was black. And it was, dad said, oh, it was my favourite aircraft. And from then I took it on. Because dad's background was RAF. But he then went to De Havilland's as aircraft fitter. And he worked on the Comet.
Wow.
On the Comet. The one that broke the airspeed record,
yeah.
And then onto the airliner.
Yeah,
wow. When De Havilland developed that,
you must be very proud of that.
Oh yeah, I mean obviously I wasn't here then.
Oh okay.
That was after he came out of the RAF, and he went then straight into De Havilland's, and I think he was about 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
I think so. Yeah.
I wonder what he did on them.
I don't know. I don't know what he did. I know he stood in for years and years and years.
That was the first commercial jet airliner, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Comet was, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And then 1 year at Duxford.
Of which I've still never been.
Duxford's well good.
I need to go there.
It's good. You don't go on an air show day, though, because you can't fucking move.
Okay.
It's nonsense. For me, Duxford is best to go a day in the week because you can just walk around and just psych the vibe. It's really good.
Mm.
It's really good. You can just relive all that went on there. You know, the Duxford Wing and all that and Lee Mallory and, you know, obviously Barda, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Big time into that. Big time. Yeah. But we were at Duxford and they got a Comet there and I managed to walk through, you know, because you had a fuselage walk.
Oh, right.
So you got in at the tail end and got off at the nose end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always wondered if it was something the dad had had an involvement in at the time.
I bet it, I'm sure. Well, he did, obviously, but whether it's that plane.
Yeah, yeah. Not, well, that's
it. It's nice but to be thinking he had something was, to do with it.
It was the only time I'd ever seen one. And then, because it was an air show, you had the opportunity to go on it. You know, and just have a walk through, which was really bloody good.
Yeah.
Great. I love it. I love it.
Me too. I did a daft thing once. I went at BBC Radio Leicester, had an auction on, and the lot I bid on was a VIP day out at East Midlands Airport. And I won.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was £40 I won the lot with, and we got a VIP day out for me and my family, and we were just allowed to go anywhere in the airport, not like you would today.
Yeah,
there was no security or anything, and we went up in the control tower.
Oh, wonderful.
Watched them bring down the planes, and then the best thing I remember was being allowed to go onto the the apron and just go on any plane that was sitting there. And I've got some, I must look them out. I've got some photographs of me upstairs sitting at the controls of random aircraft.
Right, okay.
Sitting on the...
What, commercial aircraft? Yeah.
DC-9.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was British Midland Airways.
Right.
And KLM, I think, as well, was another one. Good days. You can't do that anymore. Just, would you like to go on this plane? Yes, please, we'd love to come on. And off we go. Me and my brother sitting in the co-pilot and the pilot's chair. Nobody stopping us or anything.
No.
Good days.
Nothing seems to have that kind of accessibility anymore,
no,
does it?
Not
it
at
really
all.
Don't.
Not at all.
It don't. I mean, when we did the Irish tour in 2022, as you know, with Simon Collins.
Yeah.
We flew out there with the crew, me and Andy, mm-hmm. Andy Blythe, and shot all the promos for the album, and we shot 6 music videos over a period of, about 3.5 months. We did 3 tours out there.
Mm-hmm.
Ryanair, out of Luton, which weren't too painful.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a gas when they kind of put you in this holding bay and you couldn't get out,
oh,
so you
really?
Couldn't have a cigarette and all that kind of stuff. You sat there for ages. Funny enough, me and Andy did a podcast of 2 Go Mad in Luton Airport. Yeah, Luton Airport, you know. As in Lorraine, was
Lorraine
it Lorraine Chase?
Yeah,
that's probably a lot earlier than most people listening to this will know.
Yeah.
Luton Airport. It was okay, all right. It was. It weren't too bad at all. Everything about it was all right.
Mm.
And it's not often you say that, is
no,
it? About
not.
Things here, not at all.
No.
But it was okay. Ryanair flights and that. Apart from we struggled to get the gear out because of the cost. And the weight, they're iffy on that. And we needed to take so much equipment.
Yeah.
You know, and there was stuff that we couldn't take, which was a bit of a drag when you got over the other side. Yeah. Yeah. But it all worked out good. It all worked out good. Hopefully we'll be going back at some point in time.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Which would be a giggle.
Mm.
If you haven't been, Southern Ireland, check it out.
Mm.
Wonderful place.
Yeah.
Nobody there. Very friendly people. Very friendly people. Apart from the music's a bit iffy. Twiddly dee, twiddly dee.
Oh,
you know, yeah.
Get into the spirit, Nick.
No, it's very, very Irish traditional.
I can see you doing a Kaylee.
You know, Kaylee kind of. Funny because we stopped at a place called Kenmare, which is not too far from where Simon lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally roads full of pubs. That's what it is.
So.
They're next door to each other. You walk out of one pub, 10 yards up the road, walk into another pub.
Wow.
And that's how it is. And they've always got this traditional Irish folk and, you know, kind of Gaelic type of music and all that play. Live,
mm-hmm.
very good, very, very good. But, you know, if you're not into that type of stuff, it grinds away at your nads a bit after you've been there for 2.5 weeks, you know.
2.5 weeks of that every night. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And that's what it was every
really?
Night, yeah. Yeah. Like the rock world, you know, they were a little bit kind of adverse to getting involved in that. It was very traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, very traditional. Clever, very cleverly done, very talented musicians, but...
Mm. Tom Piper drum kitten.
Not up my...
That chap that you met, he could play any instrument, couldn't he?
Oh, the Brazilian guy?
Yeah.
Oh, shitty death. He's actually...
fantastic.
Yeah, Ernest somebody, his name is.
Oh, right.
I forget what his surname is. Brazilian guy, but
yeah.
I swapped shirts with him.
I know.
On the last day that we were flying out.
Yeah,
because he got a pucker... Brazilian football shirt on, because he was Brazilian and he bought it in Brazil. And I said to him, I said, is that a pucker Brazilian shirt? And he said, yeah, it is. And I said, let's swap shirts. Let's do like the footballers do. Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to have a Brazilian football shirt.
Well, you have, definitely.
Right,
you
man.
Love it, don't you?
Oh, that kind of stuff. Well, they're the elite, aren't they?
Yeah.
They were, not so much now, unfortunately, but, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't. Nobody played football like the Brazilians.
No.
So all the South Americans come to that. But, you know, it's it was great. It was great. But no, he's doing a tour, actually.
Who is he?
He sent me a tour sheet. He's doing about 20 dates, various different places in Southern Ireland. Yeah, but he can play anything.
I know he can.
Anything.
I can't believe what he can't play.
No, and you just kind of tip up with something and he decides he can play it and that's it. He'll play the book.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Big time into cats. He's got
some
his cats,
hasn't
yeah.
He?
Yeah, he's really big time and into his pets.
Oh, I can't help that, can I? Well, but, don't get me wrong, I'm an animal lover, aren't I? Like,
yeah, you are. I've been with your badgers and your foxes and all that
exactly.
kind of stuff.
I've got lots of company here, haven't I?
You have indeed. So, yeah, it's... if I've been going over... Well, last couple of times I've been going over, I see, yeah, we'll catch one of the shows, you know, but just never had the time.
No.
You know, because you're there and you're working and you don't have the chance to do a lot of socialising, you know, which was a bit of a drag.
That's right.
Because he was a top man. Top man. Just decided to up sticks, fed up with Brazil. I think he stuck a tail on a donkey and ended up in Southern Ireland. Cork, I think, initially. Yeah. That's how we got there.
I love your phrases, Nick.
And then he just you know, plays his way through Southern Ireland.
Wow.
Looks after his cats. Not a bad way.
I say that sounds like quite a nice, simple life to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be fair.
But no, if you've never been to Southern Ireland, check it out.
Yeah, it did look
apart
beautiful.
From the fact it rains like a bastard.
Yeah.
And it's big boys rain.
Oh, I know. I remember seeing that video that you and Andy put out.
Oh, stone, mate.
Standing there getting soaked.
It was seriously wet. Mm. When it rains, it really rains. Mm. And it was very difficult, you know, to get location time and the rest of it and, you know, and working with Si, who we don't get doing a lot of running around.
No.
You know, we take our time doing stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of coffees, breakfast, no day started without a breakfast. Mm. Simon had to have breakfast. Breakfast, shall we? Yeah, okay, we'll meet for breakfast. So, you know, you'd sit there and talk through what you were going to shoot, the concepts for the day, and have full Monty.
Ooh.
You know.
I could just eat one of them right now.
Until one morning, I never forget it. Kelly Normstrom was the guitarist and the co-writer on the album. Fantastic player.
He is.
Absolutely fantastic player. Canadian guy. He's quite big out in Canada. But he ordered it when everybody else had kind of coffee or tea. Kelly ordered these cocktails.
Oh.
That came in a big, long, tall glass.
Yeah.
And I think he had about four or five of these buggers.
Cocktails or mocktails?
What's the difference?
Well, one's got alcohol, one hasn't.
No, these were alcohol, man.
Wait,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
These were yeah, jet fuel.
Rock and roll.
And that, I think they were at 13 quid a throw.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No, they were heavy. And he just caned these things, you know, over a bit of toast, you know. Rock and roll, man.
Oh,
rock and roll.
God. No, I'd rather have a full Monty.
But yeah, no
full
day started
English
without a full Monty.
Oh, no, it sets you up for the day, doesn't
it? Yeah, unless you're Andy Blythe, then you had two. You did, because where we stopped, yeah. Christ almighty, yeah, he'd have two.
He likes his grub, does he?
Oh, stone me. Andy B can scram.
Can
it? Oh, yeah, he can. Yeah, he can scram.
I love it.
Great times. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Well, I hope to see Andy, hopefully, again soon, one day. You never know. Oh, dear. I've not seen him since the premiere.
No, well, he's now living in Devon, as you know.
Mm.
He lives down there, but he did get up for the film, for Buying Time, because that was all shot in Norfolk and Suffolk.
Yeah.
So we spent quite a bit of time up here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming back in June. That's the plan. Yeah, I think so. Well, we talk, you know, a couple of times a week on the dog. You know, because obviously we work very closely together with Elliot Blythe Films and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And the projects that are coming up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it's... but I do miss him when he's not around, you know.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time together.
You're close, aren't you?
Yeah, we are very close.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you work really well together.
Oh, yeah, we've got a great
relationship. Isn't it true that
relationship?
I've heard that Two Go Mad in Norfolk, you've already been shooting something this
year?
Yeah,
we have. We've shot pretty much a bulk of a first show.
Yeah.
We're coming back. We weren't going to start till spring, but we're going to, mind you, I suppose you're in the spring now, aren't you? I don't know.
Yeah, we are.
Well, that's what I call it on the calendar. I'll call it winter, but...
To be honest, I think there's only 6 weeks left of spring and then we're into summer.
Is there really?
Mm.
Well, I'm not too sure when the first show's coming out, but we have done the bulk of the first show.
Yeah.
There's some extras to pop into it.
Right.
And we've got continuous shows planned throughout the year. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. It's been brought back by popular demand.
Good.
Thought I'd never say that, but...
Well, I enjoyed it. It made me smile.
Yeah.
And laugh out loud.
Well, anybody who's listening to this and hasn't seen it, it's To Go Mad in Norfolk, and you can see it on Amazon Prime.
Ah,
it's
okay.
Out there now. And it was really from the popularity of Amazon Prime that we decided to do more. And there was a lot of concepts that we didn't have a chance to do.
Mm.
Because they're, well, I've spoken about these things on air before, but they're nothing's rehearsed, nothing's kind of, you know, run through before. There's no script, there's no story, there's no nothing. It's two geezers who are totally different culturally.
Yeah.
Being stupid in Norfolk.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we wanted to do but never got to do. But
yeah,
this time we're going to do it and we're going to move the line. It's going to be more adventurous this time.
Ooh, intriguing. Yeah.
More stupid. More stupid.
Well, you made me laugh.
But it's
the
funny.
Ones I've seen. If you know, listeners, if you've not heard it, go and have a look. Because they are daft but lovable with it. And if you want cheering up, go and watch an episode of that.
But they are funny, I think so.
And
anything that's funny, really, will
do. We need it, don't we?
You know, we'll do.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's probably time to say goodbye.
Have I got
as
to say
Pete
goodbye?
And Dud used to say.
Have I got to say goodbye?
I think it may be time.
Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed it.
We're running on. It's quite an hour long show.
Oh, it is.
But so we're going to sign off, listeners, and... by all means, keep listening. That's why we do it. I know a load of it's shit and a load of it's nonsense, but that's what makes it all work for me.
And me.
So, you know, it's all about having a giggle, for Christ's sakes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, for the short little time that Jesus decides you're going to be here.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to thank Annie for coming on. It's been absolutely wonderful and we must do it again soon. Thanks for your time, Annie, and I'm really glad you've enjoyed the show.
Oh, I've enjoyed you coming over and doing the show. I've loved it. Thank you so much for asking me.
No, my pleasure. It is.
You take
so,
care.
Anyone, keep listening. You stay safe and let's hope you have a good week. And it could be warm. You never know. Lots of love always. Keep listening. Stay safe. Bye-bye.